In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we just heard the reading of the first Sunday of the month of Hatur, and actually the reading of the coming week as well will be the same, is about the parable of the sower. And we all have learned this parable very early in our days in Sunday school, and we know that there were three kinds of grounds who are not able to bear fruits. And the third kind of the ground, we hear about it, the Lord said, when they have heard, those people who are like this kind of ground, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Listening to this words, the Lord said, choked with care. Unfortunately, with this particular kind of ground, this is so much deceiving that's justified in the minds of many, that because I am very busy, I care about many things, then I am excused not to respond to God's calling. I can miss the liturgy for weeks, even months. I can choose not to pray because I am overwhelmed. I have many things that I have to take care of at the same time. The problem with this kind of ground and people is that this is so much justified in the mind of many. I am excused. Let us go and review these excuses that we use it sometimes to justify that I am too busy for God, and how we should be thinking of each one of them. The first excuse that we tell to ourselves, that God will excuse me. God knows that I am too busy. He knows that I have to take care of many things. Yes, God knows, but will He excuse me truly? We know from the New Testament and the Old Testament stories related to this. In the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 14, we hear about the parable of the great supper. So we read about it. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord begin to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to the master, to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, and the lame and the blind. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. The master here was enraged simply because he did not accept that those people who were invited to this great supper would turn his servant away like this. Every time we think about it, we have to know that every time we turn the invitation away, God will not be happy with this. He will not say that, yes, this is excused. It's fine, it's okay. What is this great supper but the table of the communion? And we are all, unfortunately, sometimes we feel like it's okay that I can excuse myself from coming and responding to the invitation of the master of the feast. This was given in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we know the story about this man who collected the sticks on the Sabbath day. We read about this story in the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering the sticks on the Sabbath day. He was working. He was not doing anything that we might think that he's just wasting time. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. God treated this as a major sin. It's insulting that the day where we are invited to God's house, we just turn it away because of whatever reason. So the first excuse or justification, I am too busy, as we can see here, is not something that's accepted by God, or God will take it as okay. The second justification that sometimes we say to ourselves, I do not pray, read the scriptures, or worship God, but my heart is with Him. It's a very common one. I love God with my heart. I'm not practicing anything because I'm too busy, but God knows my heart. The Lord actually answered this when He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If my treasure is in God's house, in God's worship, I will be there. If my treasure is somewhere else, I'll just be where my treasure is. It's a very simple way that I can examine where my treasure is. Some of us, their treasures are ahead of them in heaven. So their heart is here, is in the church of God, is in His ways. Some of us, their treasures are behind them. Behind them, why? Because we are moving every day away from this treasure if we are gathering this here on earth. Every day we live it, we are just getting away from what we are collecting here on earth. The Lord said about this man who is so busy making his property and his possessions more, He said to him, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? This man, all of his treasure was behind him, and it was the time now to move away. We say this saying, none of us will take anything with him to heaven. But this is not true and accurate. Truly we can take something with us. What we lay it for the children of God, what we lay it for the poor, what we do it when we are serving others, all of this will be treasured for us in heaven, and we will find it in the judgment day. The third deceiving justification for this issue about being too busy for God, my schedule is very tight. I have to take care of so many things. It's a very common thing. Abuna, I don't know. I work two or three jobs and I have to go from here to there, and what can I do then? The Lord said to Martha when she came to Him complaining about her sister that she's not helping while Martha is like trying to host the people in her house. He said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Yes, to take care of all of these things in our hands is maybe a must. It's a mandate that we have to take care of our responsibilities. But in which way? What are the priorities? Where is the organization in my day and in my schedule? The Lord did not excuse Martha. On the contrary, He rebuked her when she came complaining against her sister, she's not helping. Also, we learn about Daniel, who was a prime minister of the kingdom of Babylon by this time. We hear about him when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. This writing was given from the king, and this decree says no one should pray for a month. Actually, maybe in our days, we would feel like we are released, that this is the government, what can I do? I have to abide to the law of the land. But this was not the case by then, in Daniel's time. When he heard that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. This man who was in charge of a whole kingdom was praying 3 times every day, and this was his custom. None of us, thanks be to God, is in charge of a kingdom or of a government. Even if we are, then Daniel will stand and say that I was there and I was able still to worship and be connected with God. My responsibilities did not take me away from a relationship that's consistent and stable with God. The fourth deceitful justification. I am not doing something bad. Yes, but I am not doing something good either. We do not go to heaven because we are not doing something bad. The Lord said this in Matthew 25. When he will come to judge, he will separate the people on his right hand and his left hand based on those people who will go away from him. They will go away because they had the chance to do what is good and they did not seize the opportunity. He said that I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not water. Give me water to drink. Never think that I will just go to heaven because simply I'm not cheating, I'm not robbing, I'm not killing anybody or like committing adultery. I'm clean. This is not the case. Another thing is, even if someone else is covering my shortfall, this will not cover my sin. Sometimes we assume that maybe because I am married to a godly spouse and this person is taking care of the things related to the children and God and the Sunday school, then somebody is doing the job, then I'm okay. No. Maybe yes, my spouse will cover my shortfall, but I will still be judged if I come short in doing what I'm supposed to do. Another justification, which also a deceiving one, success has a price tag and I need to keep it up. I am on a very high rank in where I am, and this is how things work. If I don't keep up, I will just lose where I am. My brethren, success is not in numbers. Success in keeping balance and setting the right goal. If I lose balance, then I am not successful. Even if I am the CEO of wherever I am, if I'm not keeping balance between my career and my home and my friends and my worship and my church and my service, then there is something wrong. Success also is in the goal. Where am I heading? Where did I set my goals? If my goal is just to be like the president of my company, this is not a godly goal. This will not lead me anywhere. Then what will happen afterward? Then when my life will come to an end, God is not going to check with me the financial statement of the company that I was running and say that you did a good job on this. No, this is not the case. It is about how I handle all of the things that was entrusted to me. My work is part of my life. It cannot be the whole thing in my life that I revolve around all the time. Remember, success is in keeping balance and setting the right goal to my life. The Lord answered this very clearly when he said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Another deception that sometimes we let it in when I say that I have to do it because this is the price of success. The sixth justification or deceitful one, that these days are exceptional. I will soon resume my spiritual activities later. These days I'm too busy, but soon I will come back to what I used to be. Then two questions here I have to be ready to answer. What if this busyness lasts? What if this becomes the norm? This is what I'm going to handle for the rest of my life. And the other question is, what if after these days, yes, lapse, then I cannot go back because I lost my first love, my zeal, this like warmth in the relationship with God, I lost it because I am not anymore in connection with Him. What will be the situation then? That's why I always answer the people whenever they come and say, Abuna, excuse me from the service, and say that this is not the solution. Being busy is not a justification that I gave up on my service. It's like exactly an athlete who used to run in a marathon, and suddenly he's busy and he is going to stay home doing something else. He will definitely have a big kirsch, and then he will not be able to run again. It is the same. The same applied on our spirituality as well. If I keep up, I will always be spiritually fit. If I lose it for some time, maybe I will not be able to come back to what I used to be. Keep this in mind. The last deceitful justification is, I am not a monk or a priest. Usually this is the last resort. Abuna, okay, these are requested from a monk or a priest, but I'm not. I'm just a poor lay person who doesn't have enough time. The command given to us to pray without ceasing was not under the heading of an instruction to the priest, pray without ceasing. No, this was given to everyone. The Lord himself said that we should pray at all times and not to lose heart. To tell you the truth, my brethren, even if you are a priest or a monk, you also may lose focus if you allow this overwhelm to take over your life. Don't think that living in the monastery is just like the place where you can worship God at all times. Those people, they have work to do as well. And I am sure that some of them, maybe for a certain time in their lives, they just think that I have to take care of my responsibilities. And I'm a monk, and then I don't have to keep my spiritual law going at all times with consistency. Again, this is also a distraction. The monastery is not the place that's going to make sure that I am on a law. I am abiding to a law. This is not the case. To follow God, to respond to His invitation, has nothing to do with where is my rank in the church. If I am a deacon or a priest or a monk, no. We are all requested to follow and to respond to His invitations whenever we are asked to do so. The Lord said to us, be careful lest the fruits will be shocked with care. We have to keep this in mind if we truly want to bear fruits and please God, who threw the seeds, His words, on the hearts of every one of us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.